Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday evening, July 29th. It is now 8.01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. You can send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton, Sutton-Associates.net. In his biweekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good evening, everyone. There is really so much to talk about. I had to narrow the field down, and I am going to have a couple of talking points just prior to talking about the unemployment benefit situation. It's really interesting in that it is almost impossible to watch television these days without getting steamed if you think. This morning, I was watching an interview with Dagan McDowell. Now, I know Dagan from, not personally, but I see her on the Don Imus show, and I really enjoy the Don Imus show and the dialogue that goes amongst the people in the studio. And I find that enjoyable, and I watch it while I'm doing my stretching exercises for my back, my bad knees, and all that other good stuff. And now she's not dumb. She's a pretty sharp cookie. Now, she's interviewing this guy, and I forgot his name, but it's immaterial. It's one of these, portfolio investment manager guys who continually tells us things are going great, long-term, you got to have a long-term, all the same old garbage that you hear everywhere, diversify and all that crap. And she asked about Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And he said, well, of course we need those organizations. They're critical to our to the entire economy and our financial system. If we can look back, this is what he said, if we can look back at the movie, It's a Great Life with Jimmy Stewart. If we didn't have the likes of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, we would have bankers as we had bankers in that movie. And we wouldn't be able to tolerate that. The economy wouldn't be able to tolerate that. She did not breathe a word. She didn't say, are you clinically insane? Are you mad? Did we actually invite you with that type of brain power to say those things on this program? Why do you dare insult me like that with such an incredibly unintelligible answer? And then he went on for the next 10 minutes explaining his version of economics. Now, most people, unfortunately, and I know I'm thumbing my nose down at people when I say this, most people will say, hey, good point, man. I never thought of it that way. And therein lies our problem, is we are watching television, and while we are watching television, guess what? We are accepting what they are saying. We are cataloging it into our brain, into our hard disk brain. And then when something comes up, that's the only information from which we can draw from. And the conclusions are always erroneous. And I'm going to show that when we talk about the unemployment situation. Now, I've had been accused by friends of mine, close friends of mine, of being sort of an intellectual snob, which, believe me, I'm not an intellectual snob because I'm not intellectual. I ain't smart. I can't be an intellectual. But they say, well, you say, you say everyone's wrong, man, and you're right. You know, you think you're so smart and everyone's stupid, you know, and you're right and everybody else is wrong. I say, I never said that. In fact, I always invite people, please give me your opinion. Help me out with this. See, tell me where it's wrong. Tell me where I'm going down the wrong road. I want to know. I don't know. But there's always this assumption that, you know, I know something, you don't, I'm smart, you're stupid, so listen to me. And that is not the case, and that's not the intent of this program. And I'm really afraid, I fear, that that may come across that way to some people. And I don't mean that, and I apologize for it. And if, in fact, you feel that way, you know, you are the person I want to call in because I want to hear your point of view. And either you will add, you will enrich me. You will, I say, thank you. You gave me further information, food for thought, you know, or maybe I can help you in return. That's all I am doing. You know, the only talking point that I have before I get onto the unemployment benefit situation is this electric car business. You know, it seems like today, everything hacks me off. When I heard that Chevy was coming out with the Volt, they're actually going to produce it, for 2011, I said, hey, finally, do you know the reason? And this is General Motors terms, by the way. These are their words. This is not from somebody on the internet. The reason why they didn't come out with the Volt before this is because they didn't have batteries to go into it. They said this on TV. They had a whole program on it. They did 6 months ago, they did not have batteries for it. And they were still betting on the come that there would be batteries for it that would propel this car long enough to make it commercially viable. Now, folks, I'll be honest with you. When they talked about being commercially viable and having a relatively intermediate range type car that's electric, I'm a buyer. I'd love to have the first one. I know it'd be pricey. I knew it was going to be pricey, but I really wanted to have one. You know, I wanted to have that electric car and, you know, just save it, just ride around in it. I think it'd just be neat. I can afford it. The car I have now has 255,000 miles on a Subaru. It's about time. Maybe I buy a new car. I mean, I don't buy new cars. I don't buy anything. I'm responsible for this bad economy, by the way, because I don't buy anything. You know, I have money. The velocity of my money is near zero. I'll tell you that. I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm just old fashioned. If I don't need it, I don't buy it. You know, if I have something and it's broken, I fix it. And that's the end of that. I'm still like, 19th century, not even 20th century. Anyway, but. So they come out with this stupid electric car. I say stupid because they duped the public because it's not an electric car. They put in existing technology batteries in it. Now, the batteries they have in are not really the lithium high price batteries because if they would have put those lithium batteries in there, I'm pretty sure this. Now, I haven't read this, but I'm pretty sure it's not lithium batteries. And the reason being is if they put in lithium batteries, the car would have cost $75,000. It's coming out with a list price of $41,000 with options $45,000. Now, here's a car that goes 40 miles on batteries. However, if you run out of juice, then your four-cylinder engine kicks on. Now, your car doesn't run on the four-cylinder engine. The four-cylinder engine just charges the batteries, so it continues to be an electric car. Now, wait a minute. Now, please, just absolutely spare me. If you have an electric generator charging the batteries while you're driving, that ain't an electric car. That's an internal combustion engine car. Now, how many people are going to drive that and then at 40 years run home to charge it and then go out again? It ain't going to happen. Now, for those people who just use the car for commuting to and from work, less than, 5 or 10 miles, yeah, they'll make it to and from work. If the temperature, now, there's another thing that I'll tell you. If the temperature is not too low, I called into a Blog Talk Radio discussion last week. They were talking about electric solar energy. And I asked about electric cars. Very good, excellent conversation. But it's an excellent program, by the way. And I would give them... Some press, but I don't remember who I called. I'm sorry, but it was an excellent program, and I asked the guest, and I said, well, what about these electric cars? He says, well, they'll be okay, he said, but at 20 degrees, batteries don't work anymore. So that's okay, provided it's the right temperature. And then, of course, if you have an air conditioner, you turn that air conditioner on, what's going to happen? It's going to drain the battery. Now you're on your four cylinders again. In other words, GM got skunked. They were betting on the come that batteries were going to be available, be developed. I mean, they were really hoping for that. They figured, we're gonna bet on this. And they lost. The batteries are not here. The batteries they're using, they're conventional batteries, and they don't give you squat. Now, I know, of course, with lithium batteries, if you want a lithium battery car, and they do make them, but they're like $75,000, right, they'll go like 90 or 110 miles. But then the car became totally commercially a wipeout. Now, they're not giving you a break on the car. They're selling it for a profit, unlike what Toyota did. Actually took a loss on the first, you know, first batch of cars to get the thing started. Okay? But they're giving you a $7,000 or $7,500 rebate. Now, wait a minute. This is Government Motors. They're using my money to build that stupid car. And then if someone buys it, they're giving the tax money, my tax money, to somebody to buy it. I said, hey, wait a minute. I think I'm getting screwed on both ends on this thing. So this really is not a good deal. And it's not truly an electric car. And that's the problem. It is not truly an electric car. GM blew it. And I'm not buying one. And I don't recommend anyone else does either. Anyway, that's my thoughts on the electric car. It ain't going to work. Very few people are going to buy it. Just the people who want novelty stuff, you know, the first buyers of everything, they'll buy it and they'll sell very, very, very few, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they'll maybe come out with special incentives like give you $20,000 to buy one. I don't know. All right, here we go. Now, this unemployment issue, unemployment benefits issue, this grabs me because we're not talking about the core issue. And this is what this program is about. And folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Please call in. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. Call them whatever. Even call and say, Joe, happy birthday. I know it's not your birthday. Happy birthday. Thank you very much. Just make me feel good, okay? 646-652-4620. Don't worry about interrupting me. We'll talk about anything. Now, tonight's only going to be a 45-minute broadcast because we're doing it on an odd day. We're going to have all our other ones on Wednesday, so I figured I'd cut a little bit short this evening because I didn't want to have time left over and nothing to talk about. But the other side of the employment issue, And the most important other side of employment benefits issue is that could you, I want people to think for a second, what would happen if we had no unemployment benefits? None, zero, zilch, not even one day, not 1 hour, nothing. Now people, immediate reaction, oh, you can't do that, people would starve. And that was reaction. But understand, just think if we were in an economy, we had a workforce that knew if you got a job and you lost that job. Now they know this well in advance. They know this when they're in school. Understand that we're going back to core now. We're in school, right? And the guy says he graduates high school, however they do that these days. I don't think they really graduate. They just move them out. Most of them, a lot of them are that way. And they go for a job, and they know that if they get a job and they do not perform to the employer's satisfaction, they can lose their job and they get nothing. I mean, they get their pay for that day, and that's it. Now, the employer, if they so willing, they may give them a couple of days' pay, you know, so they can eat while they're looking for a job. Hopefully they'll find one within 48 hours. But I want you to understand what the mentality of our workforce would be if we had such a program, if this was our environment. No, in other words, no one's going to help you out. Do you think we would be more responsible when we go to school? Do you think we would say, hey, I'm going to graduate high school, I don't want to get a job at that refinery. It's a filthy job. And if I leave, there's no pay. And most likely I'll want to leave or I'll beg them to fire me. I mean, all of a sudden we become responsible for ourselves. Folks, that's the problem. That is the core issue. We are not being responsible. What we're saying now is that I'll get a job if I get laid off. Well, this and that. I can get 2.5 years of benefits and I'll look for a job. In other words, we do not take care of ourselves. It's like the government not allowing the banks to finally fail so we can pick up the pieces and go on. If the person knew, if they look for a job and they knew they did not get a job, they were going to starve. What would you do when you were in school? Wouldn't you take school more seriously? Would we have better grades in school? Would we have a better school system? Would we have students who would be studying, demanding that they learn a craft, learning things? Would not we have better employees? Would not we have more productivity? And maybe people would work for a lower pay. Now, this is important, work for a lower pay so we can be more competitive in the international marketplace so our companies don't go overseas. You don't understand, it's a core issue that we're skipping. All we're saying is, well, should it be 26 weeks or 99 weeks or 4.5 years? That's not the issue. The issue, we should never do anything like that, not even for a minute. And if a person loses their job, they go, hey, mom, and they go home, mom, I lost my job, you know, and you know, what do we eat tonight? Your mother should say, Larry, starve. Your mother should be part of that program. Your family should be part of that program. But the thing is, it won't happen that way because you know that's what's going to happen. And if you know that's what's going to happen, you won't let those circumstances overcome you in that way. This is the important part of the unemployment benefits issue. There should be none. But it shouldn't. You just can't look at it from stopping it and say, well, that's it. You're not going to get it anymore. Screw you. No, you got to think of it from the core issue. And the core issue is that people are not taking this seriously. They're not taking their job seriously. They're not taking their futures seriously. They're not taking their crafts seriously. Because there's always a bailout. The government bails them out. They get unemployment. They go live with their girlfriend. She may be on unemployment. I mean, this is one big crazy house that we live in. No one bites the dust today. Because the politicians don't want to appear to be mean-hearted. And it's garbage. It's all garbage. I hope you understand what I'm saying is that what I'm saying is not to be mean-hearted. I'm saying what I'm talking about is tough love. Every kid who gets in trouble and their parents go to the tough love school, you know what they tell the parents? Your kid has no problem whatsoever. The kid wants drugs. You give him money for drugs. Your kid has no problem. Your kid is getting exactly what he wants. Why are you coming to us? And the parents get angry. I know because my friend went through that process. They said, I would want you to be my parents. And then the parents realize the kid doesn't have a problem. It's the parents who have the problem. And here I'm saying it is the individual that has the problem, and the individual is not allowed to do what they want to do, to find out, to truly dig and find out what's best for them because the government won't allow them because there's too many bailouts. There should never be not 1 second of unemployment benefits. Not 1 second. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And I hope I don't get emails saying, you're just a mean old funny duddy, you don't give a damn for people. I hope you understand that. And I'm talking from the very, your very inception, from the very first time when you're a little kid and you have a lemonade stand. You should know when if people don't buy your lemonade, your mother's not going to bail you out. You're going to have to drink all that crap. And you're going to get a stomach ache. And that is your lesson number one. But we keep on bailing people out. When they're kids, we bail them out. And then when they're in high school, we bail them out. We pass them because, you know, we had some sort of law about, well, this guy is Scandinavian and you got to pass so many Scandinavians. Yeah, we got every stupid government rule in the book. And then we want to know why our schools are no good. Well, you know, the teachers, and we talk about a tenure. That has nothing to do with it. All right, here's the other side of the employment issue. Now, assuming we have unemployment, and which we do, unemployment benefits, which I reject, by the way. Just think those people that are on it. When we say X number million people, X millions of people, I had the number of people on it. Where's my notes? I know it costs $34 billion. I don't have the number. Millions of people are on unemployment. All right, let's assume, let's take what it is today. Let me take my coffee first. All right, of all the people that are on unemployment, all right, every government program, I don't care what government program you're talking about, how much fraud and corruption and waste is there. What's the number that the government will tell us? Not us, not some independent group that has an axe to grind with the government. You know, what does the government tell us that on their programs, what's the fraud, corruption, and waste? And I'll tell you the figure. Typically, it's 30%. Now, why would unemployment benefits be any different? Why would there not be at least 30% of the people receiving it ineligible to receive it? In other words, it's phony, it's cropped up. People are applying for it, never had a job, or they work and they're still collecting. You know, I'd say, I go by government figures, I'd say 30%. So just think, now all of a sudden, 30% of the people who are getting it shouldn't be getting it in the first place. That sort of tempers us a little bit, right? Now, of those people who are genuinely unemployed and had a regular job and no longer could find regular employment and collecting unemployment benefits, how many of those are working on a cash basis? Folks, we have developed, established an underground economy that is probably the one of the biggest in the world. I know so many people who work on a regular basis, but it's not on the table. It's all under the table. And it's easy because these guys are working, and as these guys are working, they're collecting unemployment, right? And they're working, and when they're working and they're getting paid for these odd jobs that they're doing all right because this is all net money that goes into their pocket. They don't pay FICA, Social Security, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, which is broke anyway. They're busted, so they're screwing that part of the business up. You know, they're jeopardizing my Social Security. I paid in for over 50 freaking years for that stupid stuff that I get practically nothing for, right? They collect both. They have both. So with the Social Security and with their job on the side, they're actually doing pretty well. Some of them are doing better that way than they were when they had their job paying out all the taxes and stuff. Just think of that. The number of people who are actually working now, but off the records, so they can collect Social Security unemployment benefits, but they actually are working. So we got the 30% fraud, corruption, and waste, right? And then we have, I don't know what percent. You put your own number on it. We have that. All right, we have a caller in here, area code 918. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
My name is Ashley, and I'm from Oklahoma.
Okay, Ashley, what's your question or comment? Or you want to tell me you hate me?
Well, no. If I get out of high school and then I can't get a job, can I get unemployment if I can't get a job?
I don't think so. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think you are eligible for... I think if you've attempted to look for a job, I think you can apply for unemployment insurance. I think you can. You know what? And I don't know for sure, Ashley, but I think you are eligible for that. And that brings up one segment that I haven't even discussed yet. Now, how many people wind up graduating either high school or college, and what do? They go back to school. They either go from high school to college, where they didn't intend to in the first place, or they go from college to go for their master's, which they didn't intend to in the first place. And why? Because they were unable to find a job. You bring an excellent point. Let me ask our listeners out there, if you know the answer to that question, would you please call in and answer that question for Ashley and I, please? And Ashley and me, rather.
Thank you.
All right. Ashley, thank is that you. It? All right. Thank you so much for listening to Liberty Talk Radio.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Isn't that a sweetheart? It's a real sweetheart. Good point. Good point. Another point that I didn't bring out. What about those kids that get out of high school? They said, hey, I don't have to. That brings an excellent point. If they're eligible, they don't have to worry about looking for a job. You know, well, because, you know, I'm going to get 2.5 years of unemployment benefits. What, 99 weeks plus 26 now? That's 2.5 years. You know, in 2.5 years, I'll be able to find something. No sweat. It's party time. Good point. Ashley, thank you very much. Excellent, excellent point. You know, what about those people who are eligible for unemployment but actually don't need the money? Now, let me give you a couple scenarios. I know a guy that I bike with once in a while, right? Had a regular job. His wife is a medical doctor. I mean, makes humongo bucko. That means a lot of money, right? He lost his job. Goes for unemployment benefits, right? He's one. Now, how many people now are actually collecting unemployment, but where they really don't need it to survive? We got to add that in now. You know, I hope you're keeping your ledger here, right? Add that group in there. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who's on unemployment is not deserving and is not having a hard time, is not trying to look for a job. Don't get me wrong. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to look behind the scene. I'm trying to look at what is not seen. We know what is seen. That's all we talk about is people out of job. And we know that group. We don't know how big that group is, right? And by the way, who is auditing the system? Do we get statistics? We're paying for it. Do we get and our businesses are paying for it. My business pays for the unemployment fund. Is anyone auditing the system to tell us exactly where it is and where the fraud is? I used to be an internal auditor for Royal Dutch Shell. Let me tell you something. We used to go in departments, and they used to be blow-ups. I mean, we used to go in there and just nitpick everything and find stuff unbelievable. I mean, not big stuff. I mean, but it was embarrassing for that particular person sometimes. You know, because they didn't follow procedures, they didn't do this, they skirted that, they shortcut this, like everything else. You know, I mean, we found everything was pretty good all the time, you know. But I tell you, they didn't like when we came. But no one's auditing this now. Nobody audits this place now. You know, I don't understand. What about those people who lost their job but are unable to collect unemployment because their boss says he was a lousy employee, he didn't do things, and they lost the case. And the employer just didn't want to pay it. But the employee was, in fact, a good employee. I mean, he couldn't fight it. He couldn't say, no, I was a good employee. I mean, they can really contest it, and if they contest it, you don't get it. And the reason why they do that is because then the employer's unemployment benefit rate goes down. I remember when one time when a gal left my office, I let her collect because she was a nutcake, and I figured if she didn't collect, she'd come back and kill us and bomb the building. I tell you, she was a real nutcake. But I paid for that, oh, through the nose. I mean, it would have been cheaper for me to keep her on the payroll, you know. And then you got to ask the question, let's keep on going. Do we have people going on and off unemployment? Let's say a person's on unemployment, right? They get 99 weeks plus 26 now, whatever, 2.5 years, and they find a job. Now they get off, you know, they lose their job after 2 or 3 weeks or a month, right? They go back on unemployment. Where do they start? You know, I don't know the answer to that question. That's why we need someone to tell us. Does that person start all over again and now get another 2.5 years? What if after 2.5 years you finally get a job? You lose your job after a month. Do you get another 2.5 years? Now, I don't know. I honestly don't know. You know, And do we know the cost, what the cost of administering this program is? We don't know. I mean, we have to add that in. What if, is it good for them? What if the cost of administration is so humongous that it's strangling the economy and preventing people from finding jobs because businesses aren't hiring? I know when I had this one big unemployment problem at work, you know, that we allowed her to go. I mean, we easily contested because she was the worst employee I've ever had. And I had documentation up to Gazoo, but I let her have it because I thought she was crazy. You know, it strangled me. I was paying thousands every month for this one employee. Thousands. I mean, not month. I mean, every year. Thousands of dollars every year. I thought it would be a cheap year. You know, so all of a sudden, you employers become what? They become very reluctant to hire someone. You know, and we got this mindset. And we got this moral hazard that we got to deal with. You know, is that I don't have to take the risk. The government takes the risk for me. You know, oh, here, we got somebody else on the line. Let's see who this is. Area code 770, you're on the air, your first name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, Joe. This is Adam in Atlanta.
Oh, Adam in Atlanta. How are you
this evening?
Very good, thank you. Very good, thank you.
You're especially entertaining tonight, and I'm really enjoying the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
But I believe that the answer to the question of whether a high school student could collect unemployment straight out of high school would depend on how much they worked previously, because they would have had to pay into the system for a certain amount of time to be eligible for benefits.
Okay. I figured there had to be something in there, you know, but... But you don't know, and that you don't think that has changed or loosened up so that you know, the benevolent government can keep them on the dole, do you?
Well, I don't know. But let's face it, in a collectivist society like we have now, if they can't collect unemployment, they could certainly collect welfare. So what would it matter? If they can't get one, they can get the other.
You know, that's an excellent point. And, you know, those people who are advocates of unemployment benefits are saying that. They're saying, well, you know, so what difference does it make? At least they get unemployment benefits. It's a certain amount. You know, it's temporary. They're looking for a job, this and that. You don't want to put these people on welfare, but you have them down there forever, so you're better off with one. Well, it's like, you know, it's like saying, by the way, I'm going to kill you. Would you like to hang, or would you like to stab you to death? I mean, it's a stupid argument, you know. They're both rotten. One is worse than the next, you know. And it's all comes back to the moral hazard of people not taking care of themselves.
But I do have one question for you, and maybe you can answer it. But before that, I'll recommend a documentary, because I know you're a big car enthusiast, as I am. And if you've never seen it, go out and rent the documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Oh, I have to.
It was made, I think, a few years ago.
Yeah, let me interrupt. I did see that. In fact, I saw it at the Circle Theater here in Tulsa. And what they had is they had a couple of engineers from the University of Tulsa who work with solar power and stuff like that. And there was, at the end of the movie, the whole theater was a roundtable discussion. It was fabulous, but I did see that movie. It was a fabulous movie.
It was a great movie, one of my favorite documentaries. But the question that I have is, and I'm confused, and maybe you can straighten me out here, if workers have paid a portion... that's deducted out of their paychecks to be set aside as unemployment insurance. So why is it that the money shouldn't be handed back to them when it's needed until the amount which they have paid, and I understand their employer also pays half of it, but let's just say for the sake of argument, just the half that the employee has paid in all these years. So why shouldn't they receive the amount until that amount is completely depleted, and then they don't get to have any more?
Okay. I could not agree more. Let me go one step further. Why should it be given to the government in the first place? Why wouldn't that be an individual responsibility? Why wouldn't people say
to
themselves,
agree with you.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a government. People say, you know, it's like you're in business and you're allowed a depreciation allowance, right? Because you have machinery or whatever. And the reason why you have that is because over, let's say, a 10-year period, the life of the machine, after 10 years, you have to replace it. So what you do is that depreciation comes off, you know, by, and you're able to take that money, put it aside. So after 10 years, you have the cash to buy a new machine. I mean, it's the same process. So people have to say, you know, I better put money aside. I mean, the rainy day fund. This is what people used to do 50 years ago. They always saved their money. You have to save your money. They used to call it the rainy day fund. You never know what's going to happen. I used to hear this when I was a kid all the time. Put your money away. I remember my first job, Adam. My first job, I had a savings account with the company. And I used to put in $5 a week. That was a lot, Ben. But $5 a week. That was my rainy day fund. So in the event something would happen, I would have something. But you're right, but this goes to the whole question of, you know, our whole mentality of a society. Instead of being self-sufficient, what we're doing is we just do sort of what we want, man. We sort of just hang, you know. And then if things don't turn out, what we do is we make the government pay for it, because that means you.
No, I couldn't agree more. But the argument that people use to secure their unemployment benefits is they say, well, that's my money. I paid into it all these years, so
Right.
I'm taking it out.
Right. And in the free marketplace, there's unemployment insurance that you can pay into, and you pay so much. Everyone can pay in so much. And then if you lose your job, you know, depending on the policy you have, they will pay you X number of dollars for X number of weeks. And you know what that is. And if you paid in more, you get in more money or more weeks. And this is a decision that you make. And if you don't, you starve. And that's your problem.
Right, exactly.
You know, the argument, you know, well, they'll go on welfare. Well, we're talking about the same issue all over again. You know, Adam, I really have come to the conclusion, we can talk about this, we can be logical about it, we can reestablish a hypothetical society that really works well, but I think we're doomed, because it just seems to be getting worse. I hate to tell you that. I never said I was a doom and gloomer. I'm an official doom and gloomer now. I don't think we're going to work out of this thing. I think we're going to have a collapse, and then when we have a collapse, there's going to be no one there. No one's going to have anything. That's the problem. No one's going to have anything to help them sustain themselves. You know, I tell people, folks, in the 1930s, during the Depression, most people did not know there was a Depression. You know why? They always lived that way. And they always prepared for things. And they took care of themselves. If they had a hole in their shirt, they sewed the shirt. You know, if something happened, they fixed it. And they didn't have anything. I read a email today that I got from this guy who's a bigwig in the entertainment industry. He sent me an email. And he made an excellent point. You know, he said what he did is he gave away his company to charity, decided he didn't want a second house, a second car. He was a multimillionaire, you know. And he had nothing. He had a very modest, a small apartment, you know, his laptop computer, and that's all. I mean, basically, that's all he had. And he said, what happens to me is that when I have money, I have a tendency to buy a second house that I don't need, or a second car that I need. He said, so now I give all my money away to organizations that do good. And he says, I'm free from those, the shackles of that problem. And he's doing he's seeing himself as an independent person doing good for society and standing on his own two feet. Now, this guy is a multimillionaire doing that. And yet, if he can do it, why can't people do it who don't even have the money and say, I'm going to be responsible and stand on my own two feet? I don't understand that.
Right. No, I can appreciate where you're coming from. But I know you've only got a few minutes left, and I'm going to clear the line. But I appreciate you letting me get on and ask my question.
Adam, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. All right, you have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You know, I love that. I have another note here. It says, the reason we have to pay so long for our employees was that our state was out of money. Oh, the reason we had to pay so long for our I just got a note from my wife. She said the reason why we had to pay those thousands of dollars for our employees because the state ran out of money. and we had to subsidize, additionally subsidize the unemployment. And that's what's happening now. The Fed is printing money to keep all this place, this thing afloat. When you start printing money and start giving it out, you start ruining the economy. And folks, listen, I have a real problem with the gross domestic product and unemployment benefits. These clowns that say the unemployment benefits are good because people spend the money and that goes to GDP. Wait a minute. If the government is printing money and just giving it to someone, government spending is counted as GDP. So when that person spends the money that the government gave them, that is counted as GDP. Isn't our GDP then double dipping? Think about that. Let me see. I had some other notes. You know, the argument is, you know, should it be 2 years, 2.5 years? At what point, the way we are now, at what point do they say enough is enough? After a person's been on unemployment for 2.5 years, when do they say, basta vanesto, forget about it. Yeah, finalmente, as they say in Italian, right? At what point do they do that? They don't know. It's the same thing with the strategy in Iraq and Afghanistan. What's your strategy? What's your exit strategy? There is none. And there's no exit strategy for the unemployment benefits. Now, people who have been unemployed for 2 years or so are becoming more and more difficult to hire because their skills are getting out of, are getting rusty. You know, they're technologically getting behind and everything. And if someone's been out of job for 2 years, you know what's going to happen? People are going to be suspicious about hiring them. Why hasn't this person been able to find a job for 2 years? So they become the hardcore unemployed. They become the discouraged people who stop looking for a job and they get off government statistics as being unemployed, but they don't work. Think about that. I had another point that I wanted to make and it just fell out of my head. It was my big point of the evening. And let me see if I can find it here. I can't think of it. Isn't that terrible? I wanted to close with this point, and I can't remember what it is. This is terrible. The argument that people really want to work is true. Now, people do really want to work. People do want to be productive. There's a lot of people who don't, but that most people do. But if you give them an out, if you make it too easy for them, they're not going to do it. You're going to give them an incentive not to work. And I know this argument goes back and forth. I wish that we would just start thinking rationally about all of these subjects rather than just looking at it from where we are and where we go next and say that we can't change things. We have to be radical enough to want to change things. And if we can only change things, then maybe this country will stand a chance. I think the odds are against us. I'll be honest with you. Don't think we're going to make it. And I wish I could remember that last point because I just can't remember it. It's driving me nuts, and I wanted to close with it. But there's the song that tells me that I have to get off the air. This is the end of today's broadcast, and we'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move. Ron Paul has a sign in his nest that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.